Do you ever wonder what's happening behind the scenes of the multi-trillion dollar fashion industry? In the new podcast, Fashion People, Puck correspondent and 20-year fashion veteran Lauren Sherman and a rotating cast of industry insiders discuss what fashion people are really talking about behind the scenes of the star-studded business, from creative director switcheroos to M&A drama, DTC downfalls, and Met Gala mishaps. Fashion People, a presentation of Odyssey in partnership with Puck, is available now wherever you get your podcasts. Make Me Smart is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Oh my God, look at you tweeting about Mint the Coin. You really are obsessed with this. I love it.
I kind of am. I actually read his paper, Rohan Gray's paper, which is like a 75-page law review article.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Now I'm looking at the hashtag and I just can't get it out. Well played, sir.
Yeah.
Oh, my fine.
Hey, everybody, I'm Kai Rizdahl. It is Friday. Welcome back to Make Me Smart. Making today make sense, I think.
I'm Molly Wood. It is Happy Hour Friday. Happy Friday, everybody. Economics on tap. The live stream is up and running. I have to click the link so that I can find out what everybody's drinking. Everybody, I think, is hanging out in the Discord. If you're finding us on the podcast, the YouTube live stream, chatting along in our very, very active Discord channel. Either way, we are delighted, delighted to have you and to be with you today.
We are.
I'm just waving
at
the camera. No, we actually are. I mean, really, this is like the best end of the week. We look forward to it. Count the minutes. I always think about what I'm going to wear.
15 minutes of my week that become 45 minutes. Dude, shut up. Do you really?
I mean, well, if I'm just like in my bathrobe, then yeah, like I'm usually like, plus I got a new Rent the Runway shipment today.
Yes.
So I was excited to rock my new sweater. I don't buy any clothes anymore. I do the Rent the Runway subscription service, which is amazing. And then they just like, I just pick out new clothes, like four things a month. So I got this cool new sweater, way more stylish and expensive than I would ever buy. Otherwise, I'd just be rocking my usual Target.
And then how long do you keep them?
Like a month. You can keep them, but if you really like it, like I had this dress all summer long because I liked it too much, but now summer's over, and so I sent it back. So you can sort of roll things over for a few months or just keep it for 1 month at a time. It's so I have not bought clothes since I've been doing this in, like, I don't know, 6 or 7 months.
Wow.
It's great. Wow. So great. Ooh. And people are always like, where'd you get that? I'm like, Rent the Runway.
And thus ends the sponsorship part of this podcast.
I know, exactly. Sorry. But I just have this strategy. I don't want to buy any new stuff anymore.
It's totally fair.
Sustainability.
Well, we talked about this, actually. We've talked about that in clothing and all that jazz. Yes. Anyway, so we're off track a little bit. We'll do a little news. Yes, we'll do a little news. We'll do half full, half empty. I think Drew's on today, but I don't really know. If you are half full on the show, by the way, which we're assuming most of you are because you're here, take a minute, subscribe, would you? Or, you know, whatever podcast app you're using, Apple Podcast, take your pick. We don't care. The question of the day, though, Ms. Wood, you've already answered. It's a LaCroix day for you.
It's a LaCroix day for me. I'm picking up the child, and so I'm being maximum responsible, but I'm mixing it up with tangerine. Ooh.
Oh, I had some.
My boyfriend left some at my house, and it's fine.
Soon to be former boyfriend. He leaves that anymore. I have a new beer today, courtesy of Nancy Fargali, the executive producer of Marketplace, who gifted me this the other day, from Paperback Brewing right here in Glendale, California. Bunny with a chainsaw.
Amazing.
Isn't it kind of wild?
What a great can.
Yeah, it's kind of wild.
Oh, that's outstanding. I have some friends who are big bunny fans, and I'm going to have to find that for them. That's incredible. I love it.
Yeah, it's excellent. It's quite nice. Quite nice.
A vanilla Coke with coffee, says Blake Nicholson, that I should try.
No.
The tangerine's not bad.
Tangerine is terrible. Tangerines, it's the whole LaCroix genre, those flavored waters, it's like sock water. It's like somebody rinsed a tangerine through a dirty sock and put it in a can with some carbonation. real honest to God, that's why I'm on those.
That's how that Mango White Claw was, but this is better. This is better than Mango White Claw. I'll give it that.
On with it, shall
we? What do you think? Some news?
Okay, yes.
I'm so wondering
I got a couple. What? Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I'm wondering if we have a part of the same story. I believe we do, so that's great. What? We can agree on that at the end.
Mm-hmm. Is it the
The second. Your second link and my first link, I suspect we're going in the same direction with, but I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Suspense. So let me do the quickie because it's a developing story. Bloomberg had it this morning. It's literally a two-paragraph story in Bloomberg, but of note for us and also, you know, all y'all eventually. The Biden administration, Bloomberg reports, is weighing an executive order on cryptocurrencies as part of an effort to set up a government-wide approach to the white-hot asset class, Bloomberg News reports, would charge federal agencies to study and offer recommendations on relevant areas of crypto, touching on financial regulation, economic innovation, and national security. Totally fascinating. Developing story. Check back for more. There you go.
Super interesting. The U.S. has been behind the eight ball on crypto big time. And it seems like they're trying to catch up in a huge hurry. So interesting. Well, I think that it is possible that we share this same story because I have a story about the September jobs report, and then you have a link directly to the underlying data. Yes, and if you were me, you would be about to say, wow, can you believe that in a jobs report that showed 194,000 jobs added, 309,000 women left the labor force and 182,000 men joined? Is that where you're going?
Yes, mine is a variation of that story. So it's important to remember that the jobs report is a net new jobs report. That is to say, in any given month, millions of people leave and millions of people come into the labor force and get jobs, right? Millions of jobs are lost and millions of jobs are gained. So it's a net number. So the net number this month was 194,000 new jobs, okay? 220,000 of those jobs went to men. Negative 26,000 of those jobs went to women, which is to say, for I think the third or fourth time in this pandemic, women just overall just lost jobs.
Yep.
In September, 26,000 women lost jobs. So,
and 309,000 of them dropped out completely, either quit work or halted their job searches. So that gets us to about 350,000 women who either lost jobs or left the workforce because they just couldn't find a job, or most likely, and this was on the Morning Report today and is in this Washington Post story that I found, have had to deal with unstable school and childcare situations.
Totally.
I mean, it's unfathomable. I saw Reshma Sajani, who you've had on PM, talking about her idea for the Marshall Plan for Women, you know, tweeting and Instagramming about it today. And it's just like,
she's from Girls Who Code, right? Yes.
Yeah. Founder of Girls Who Code and then has gone on to work on this idea of the Marshall Plan for Women to just get women back into the workforce, because it's just we're like hurtling toward an already unsteady but totally lopsided recovery.
It is a generational issue, right? I mean, this is going to show up in 15, 20, 30 years in really substantive, I mean, not that it's not substantive now, but it's going to affect us 30 years down the road, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a mess. It's a mess.
Yep. And it has to be, it can't just sort of be this like limp along thing. I am aware that there are lots of things happening in this country and the world right now and lots of priorities, but this can't be like we hope for a recovery and everybody will benefit. This isn't a rising tide kind of situation. Like, this specific part of this recovery has to be addressed.
Here's the challenge though, right? Not to get on a political, military, or political, economic tangent, but Congress, number one, as I said before on this program, cannot find its backside with both hands. Number two, it is mired deep in stupid partisan political BS with this economy. Debt limit, how much the infrastructure bill should be, all of those things. And so the idea that there is more help coming now for people who have lost their benefits. Like, let's remember that in September, 7 million people lost those extended unemployment benefits, even though this economy is nowhere near past the virus. There's no more help coming. there's no more help coming.
Yep.
And we just need to know that.
And we still, you know, we still have an argument, like an increasingly nonsensical, frankly, argument about whether to fund the exact type of human infrastructure that would solve some of these issues, you know? And by nonsensical, I just mean two members of Congress being like, I don't like it.
Yep.
For no reasons that I'm willing to articulate. Yep, good times. Good times. I specifically put a better news story, however, in here because I didn't want to be a giant freaking bummer on a Friday.
Jesus.
I was, although it is complicated and hard to pull off, I was heartened to see after our conversation about like Facebook and Twitter slapping labels on climate-related content and Facebook in some cases just being like, no, you can't run an ad about your climate podcast, which other people have talked about, not me. Google and YouTube on Thursday announced a new policy that prohibits climate deniers from being able to monetize their content on its platforms via ads or creator payments, which is, according to Axios, one of the most aggressive measures any major tech platform has taken to combat climate change misinformation. So it basically means for all of the create, you know, what people have discovered in the creator economy is the more extreme you are, the more money you can make. Because you get lots of clicks. Yeah. And so what Google and YouTube said here is you might get a lot of clicks for your climate misinformation and your climate denying thing that, you know, is very engaging, but you're not going to get ad revenue from it. And that is a big deal. And
it's huge. Well, and that goes back to this thing you've been saying for such a long time about many types of disinformation and misinformation, right? There's money behind it. And if you take care of the money, that'll help solve the problem. It won't take care of it entirely, but, you know, it'll help solve the problem.
Right. Right. So, like there are always going to be people who think what they think and say what they say. But if they get rewarded for it over and over, that's why it keeps happening right there. By the way, did you have you read the Bad Art Friend story that was in the New York Times magazine?
You know, I can't decide whether I want to so I can know what's going on or I can have it as a badge of honor that I was like, yeah, no, I'm not reading that. Sorry. That's so superficial. Yeah. I'm really sorry.
You're one of those. I know. Oh, it took me until today to get to it. Yeah. Well, it took me until literally right before the show to get to it, which is why it's on my mind. Like I was sort of like, oh, I don't have enough time to do a thing because Make Me Smart's coming. So I'll just read this article finally. And it is indeed fascinating. But what I'm going to say is that it's a story about 2 to 10 terrible people. But in my mind, the real culprit is Facebook. Because if these people didn't need this validation from each other or they didn't have a place to gather as like internet friends who aren't really friends, so they feel totally free to be jerks about each other, like with their gossip group.
Oh, God. Yeah. I was so true. Yes.
This is a story about validation mechanisms that shouldn't exist and are totally artificial and are screwing up relationships. Facebook.
You know, it's fine. I was gonna suggest that you summarize it for people who are listening, but don't, right? They should go into it and just read it. And
if it's about Facebook, because I think it is. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, really finally, real quick, because this is my weird obsession. You know how I'm obsessed with this Havana Syndrome thing. Like the weird thing where, you know, State Department diplomats and other federal officials have gotten these like traumatic neurological injuries. No one knows why. Keeps on happening. Like unclear what the technology or who the attackers are. But increasingly there are these tiny steps toward acknowledgement that it's totally real. So today, President Biden signed a new government program to compensate the CIA officers, diplomats, and other federal officials who have suffered this. Yes, it was like, there was no questions. It wasn't like it was just a quiet, private ceremony where the Secretary of State and the CIA director were authorized to give financial support to employees who have suffered these brain injuries. This is a thing.
With no ceremony and little public comment, Mr. Biden signed the Havana Act. How about that? Wow, I totally missed
that. And he didn't call it an attack. He said anomalous health incidents.
Ah, Jesus.
Like, look, if somebody's out there with the technology to break our brain, we also need to figure out what that's about.
Yeah. Although, to be clear, we have the technology to break people's brains, too. We're just not using it like the
We probably do. We're just pretending that we don't. We're probably breaking brains, too. Everybody's breaking. If somebody's breaking brains, everyone's breaking brains.
True.
Help. pictures in my brain. And there he is.
All right. Half full, half empty is what we call this. We give you our predictions on various topics tossed to us by one Drew Jostad. Go.
I was thinking that I could host today, but it might be better if I have a special guest host who I think you'll recognize.
No. Oh, you're going to... Don't.
Oh no.
So hi, my
you
friends.
You sprung this on us.
Okay.
So, let me just set this up for those of you who don't know what's going on. Sitar Nieves has been at Marketplace for 9-ish, maybe 10-ish years. Now I understand why she was hanging around the office today. Today is her last day. She spent 5, maybe 6 years producing my program and then moved over to build what we in-house, although not with the blessing of the parent company, call Marketplace Studios, which are our on-demand offerings, including The Uncertain Hour, This Is Uncomfortable, Molly's new show, How We Survive, and oh, by the way, this one. And now she's done. She's leaving. Today is her last day. And so I guess Drew Jostad decided, probably with Bridget's blessing, hello, that she would just get a little airtime. Because, you know, whatever, anybody can be on the pod, I suppose.
Not only that, I'm in your studio, Kai.
Hey, do not touch anything.
Move his microphone.
Do not touch anything.
This is your last chance.
Oh, my God.
So much mischief I can make.
Don't move stuff around. Okay, I'm going to put that in my next contract.
But the people need the half full, half empty, my friends. So,
yes, okay, they do.
Right. You already stole one of mine, which was Google and YouTube cutting off ad money. So I'm going to have to come up with another one on the fly, just letting you guys know. I believe you're both half full on that one.
Half full.
Yes.
So WhatsApp's importance to the world. Half full, half empty.
Huge outage. This was it just this week? It seems like so long ago. but I think we all learned how important all these things are to not just, you know, knowing what's going on with your high school friends, but businesses like everywhere. Mm-hmm. And they had
WhatsApp
another one today,
in particular.
Right? Didn't they, Molly? Did they have another one?
Yeah,
today?
Some of the apps were out today too. I think WhatsApp in particular was the revelatory one coming out of this, because WhatsApp is used internationally more than we realize for communication, but also a lot of business. Like companies are taking orders and it's trying to be sort of like a WeChat, you know, and you could book a car or order food or do all these things. And when it went down, I think there was a big chunk of commerce that disappeared and people were like, oh, that's a big deal. Half full.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm with Molly.
The U.S. Postal Service offering paycheck cashing services.
Okay.
That seems better than payday lenders, right? I think I'm in.
Yeah.
This was, remember we talked about the U.S. Postal Service having a bank.
They're essentially testing a plan to allow people who don't have access to banks access to
for the unbanked.
So, look, the general idea is great. I'm a little concerned about the U.S. Postal Service being able to execute in an equitable way and just because of – and we've talked about this, who's in charge and how the mails are going, might I just say.
Touche.
Just saying.
Let's see. It is small right now. Business and payroll checks of $500 or less. The post office will not provide cash in exchange for the checks and instead will let customers purchase a single-use gift card. So that's going to have to stop.
No,
it's a little awkward.
Right. Yeah.
It's a little awkward.
Since I only have to be half, I'm going to say half full. By the way, it's just so weird. It's so weird to be responding to Star with game stuff instead of like, well, this is our plan for the podcast lunch. And then
this is what I want.
It's not right.
Blah, 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 and management is terrible. And anyway.
Okay, keep going.
Aren't you glad you're leaving? Are you glad you're leaving now with me and Molly just...
I'm half full on Make Me Smart and everything at Marketplace. The American Women Quarters Program. Do you know what this is?
Oh, yes. No, I do. And it's going to be like Sally Ride and a
Maya
bunch
Angelou.
Of people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yes.
Honoring their achievements.
This is a slam dunk.
I'm fully full.
Yeah, all the way full.
Okay.
How cool.
It's very cool. Fat Bear Week 2021.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. We talked about this.
All the way full.
Yeah.
Of course. How can you not be full on this one? This was a giveaway. Come on.
Okay. This was an easy one. This was just so we could hang out.
Okay. Here's the last one. Letting people know and celebrating your birthday.
Shut up. Shut up.
I'm just asking.
Snap. You know, I'm very full on this. Why do you ask?
I'm just asking naively. It might or might not be one of the three of ours' birthday, and it's not mine.
You know, it's not my birthday. That's so weird. Oh my birthday is May 23rd. I'm happy to tell everybody to celebrate it. So
I hate you.
I guess that must mean
this is my goodbye gift to you, Mr. Rizdahl.
I'm glad you're leaving. All right, fine.
Happy birthday to Kai.
Shut up.
I will never.
This was a monstrously orchestrated plot, and I hate you all. God, Jesus.
I love you.
A guy tries to fly under the radar.
Ever.
Oh man.
Aww.
Thanks for letting me play along. I love the show. I love both of you. I love everything at Mark
Place. Love you.
We love you, too. It has to be said that the reason we're here on a Friday afternoon is because of Sitar Nieves, right? The pandemic happens, yep. and Molly and I said, holy crap, we need to be doing something every day because life is just upside down. And Sitar, without blinking, I think, anyway, said, yeah, let's do it. Let's just bang it out. And we did. And that's why we're here.
And if she did blink, hid all the blinking from us and just quietly executed it because that's what she does.
Well, she is somewhat of a cipher, it must be said. But that's why we're here. And look, her leaving is I'm envious and jealous and so hopeful for her. But it's tough for Marketplace. We should be clear. It's a blow. And that's where we are on a Friday afternoon in early October.
Yep.
2021.
Oh. Thanks for listening, everyone. Okay. Email us. We'll tell Sitara if you email us nice things about her even after she's gone. makemesmart@marketplace.org. Leave us or her a voice memo, 508-827-6278. She is the perfect example of the person you didn't maybe know about who made it all happen. Made it all happen. Oh, look.
I think that's really important.
Already.
Well, so it's really important to point out, and we do this from time to time, but you and I and David on the mornings have the best and arguably the easiest jobs in the shop, right? We get to sit in front of a microphone and just kind of ramble, sometimes scripted, sometimes not. But there is an army of people, truly, who do all the hard work so that we can sit here. And Sitara led that for, you know, a decade, truly.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's it.
Not even a lie. A lot of ugly crying around the offices this week. So, in honor of the people who make the work happen, Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera. Today's episode was engineered by Drew Jostad. The senior producer is Bridget Bodner.
Team behind the YouTube live stream. Oh, we're out of music. Sorry, no, I have to stop. Live streaming our game half full, half empty is Stephen Beyond, Catherine Devine, Emily McCune, and Mel Rosenberg. The theme music for Half Full, Half Empty was written by Drew Jostad. And the executive director of On Demand, one last time, is Sitar Nieves.
Now and forever.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.